want to introduce myself. My name's Philip. If you're newer here to Vertical, I'm the pastor here at this church. I'm part of a wonderful team. You maybe got to meet some of our team, whether you're in Hiawassee or here in Morganton. I get to serve with some awesome people. I get to go to church with some awesome people. And I just want to say, I'm so excited that you're here. I believe that God can move in your life today. And that's what we're praying for. That's what we're expecting for. And I'm excited to see what happens. And we're in a series right now that's called Call Me Out. And it's been this idea that God is the creator of the universe, and people actually puts things inside of us as humans that maybe we don't know are there. I don't know if you may believe that, you don't believe that, that's okay. We're going to work through some examples, but we talked about that 2 weeks ago before some of y'all were praying for snow, and it was enough for us to cancel church, but not enough for us to maybe really enjoy it. I hope you're happy with yourself. But 2 weeks ago, we were talking about this guy named Gideon, and he had some excuses when God shows up in his life and tries to call some things out of him. He, remember, if you remember the story, he's like, I'm in the smallest tribe of Israel. I can't be a mighty warrior. He said things like, I'm the smallest in my tribe, my family. He's like, I'm the lowest of low. I can't be a mighty warrior. But God says, I put that inside of you. So we look through this biblical example of things that are inside of us that God can call out of us. We looked at the life of Saul. He went from persecuting Christians to being one of the leaders of all Christians there. God called something out of him. And I want us to look at the life of Moses today. The life of Moses today. But here's the thing. I want us to talk about the idea of excuses. Hadley Watson's titled the message again, and it's another good one. I think we found something she's just elite at. The title of the sermon today is The Exodus from Excuses. I saw that and I was like, that's just clever. I like that. And so that's the title of the message, The Exodus from Excuses. And I know what you're thinking. Other people use excuses, but not you, right? It's other people who have given up on that New Year's resolution to eat healthier, but not you. You still tracking with me 3 weeks in the year, you know what I'm saying? You know, your New Year's resolution to maybe get back in the gym. I've seen you guys at the gym. There's a couple of y'all still there, but 3 weeks in, we're fading fast. You know what I'm saying? I'm watching people, they just signed up, and 3 weeks in, that money's gone. And maybe your New Year's resolution was to read more books, but you haven't bought one yet. But you're close, right? You know, or maybe you're like me. One of my New Year's resolutions was I'm going to start journaling again. My bro Christian in the back there has been after me, texting me, hey, you started journaling. Well, not yet, but yet being the key word more than not, you know? And so I finally started journaling this week. I'm back in it, starting slow, but staying after it. So have you ever had excuses before? Maybe it's with God, because I really do have this belief that the way we see ourselves and who God created us to be can be very different. There can be a gap in between those two things, and usually in between how we see ourselves and who God created us to be is this wall of excuses. This wall of excuses that can exist. Maybe right now you're in a movie theater in Hiawassee, or you're online, or you're in a gym, and right now God's been calling you to do some things, but right now you got excuses. Surely not you, but maybe somebody else. And I want us to look at that idea that we've got excuses sometimes, and what are we supposed to do with them? How do we actually go on this exodus to move beyond excuses to experience all that God has put inside of us, to be everything that God has created us to be? What are these excuses that we could run into? And the thing we keep seeing in these biblical characters of, we start seeing it's not me, it's somebody else, right? I mean, that was what Gideon tried. He tried to tell other people, he tried to tell God it was somebody else. Somebody else is the mighty warrior, but it's not me. But let's look at the life of Moses, because Moses, most people, we've heard of him. We know, you know, we picture it. Man, that dude split the Red Sea. You know, he performed some miracles. He led people in the wilderness, you know. And so he must have not had any excuses. Well, let's look at it. Let's look at Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. It says, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send somebody else." I'm like, one, after listening to Gideon, Gideon was like, "Pardon me, my Lord." Moses, like, "Pardon me." I'm like, man, these Israelites, they're like the politest people ever, you know? They're standing up to the Lord of the universe, and they're like, "Pardon me, my Lord." I don't know why, but it makes me read it in a British accent. I know they weren't British, but that's how I read it. I don't know if that's right or wrong. You can take a note and ask later. I don't know. But that's how I read it. "Pardon me, my Lord. Send somebody else, please." Interrupts my tea and crumpets time. You know, I'm like, okay, people. That's clearly maybe not exactly how they said it, but it's translated that way. But clearly, Moses is like, how I see myself and what you're calling to me is different. Have you ever experienced that God starts calling you to something and you start visualizing in your mind what it's supposed to look like and it's terrifying? You already know what it's supposed to look like. Moses is like, I know you're calling me to be a leader. Well, I'm going to have to do like a State of the Union address every day. I'm going to have to get up and talk in front of everybody. I'm slow to speak. I can't do that. That's not me. He's already visualizing what this is going to look like, and it doesn't look good for him. He doesn't like this. Has God ever called you to some things maybe, and you start thinking about what it's going to look like, and it's horrifying? You're like, that ain't me. Please, pardon me, my Lord, send somebody else. You're like, that ain't me. And you start making these excuses. Immediately, Moses is like, no, I can't speak. I'm slow to speak. And then God's like, well, that's interesting. I created you, so I actually already knew that, Moses. But thank you. It's this thing, if we believe that God can put something inside of us and be the one who knows to call it out of us, it's a little audacious for us to turn around and try to use the things he already knows about us as excuses not to do it. Have you ever thought about the logic of that? Of God has already put things inside of us that we don't know about, and he's the one calling them out of us, and then we take the things we do know about ourselves, the ones that the God of the universe, the one who created us, would already know, and then use those as excuses. But that's how we try to roll sometimes. And God looks and goes, I already knew that about you. And so as we're looking through this, what are the excuses that you may have given in the past? What are the excuses you may be giving right now? You see, what we see as an inconvenience to us, God sees as an opportunity. We may see our ability to be slow to speak, or we're not talented enough, or we're not young enough, or we're too old now, or all these excuses we try to give, they're inconveniences to us. But they're opportunities to God. See, here's the thing, is God doesn't just plant things inside of you and wants to call them out of us. He wants that process of things being called out of us to be an opportunity for us to learn to trust him. And so he gives us these opportunities to work through the things we think may be excuses, because we already know what this is going to look like. We already know what God's calling us to. We already visualize it. We're horrified. We're a little bit fearful. And we go, that can't be us. And we got excuses. And God goes, I don't view it the same way. I see those excuses as opportunities for you to learn to trust me. And so right now, when God's trying to call you to things, what are the excuses you may be rattling off? You know, when I was younger, I'd say, well, and when I get in college, I can figure some things out. Or maybe when I get my first job, or maybe when I, you know, get married, or maybe now that you're getting a little bit older, you're like, maybe I could have done that back when I was younger, but not now, you know. And or maybe you go, maybe I can do that once the kids graduate from home, or this or that. We always got excuses or reasons why. But God's looking those as opportunities. And maybe we've got to start looking at some things a little bit different as he calls things out of us. But what are the excuses you may or may not be trying to use right now? Is it you're too young, or you're too old, or you don't have the right talents, or you don't have the right looks, or whatever it is, you don't have the right schooling? Moses said, blatantly, just pick somebody else. He's like, I already went through my excuses. You just need to pick somebody else. But see, there's this journey that we can go on if you move past excuses. And the thing is, if you move past excuses, Moses' life shows us something that can happen afterwards, and it's called experience. The exodus from excuses will lead you on to the next phase of that season, and it's experience. And see, here's the thing is, our experience will rarely match our excuses. Our experience will rarely match our excuses. All the things we tried to tell God, you know, this is why I can't do it, it ends up not really being a great excuse if you move on to experience what God has for you. Have you ever experienced that so far in life? You had an idea of what something's going to look like in your mind, and then you finally step out to do it, and it wasn't like that. It was just the fear talking. Some of you may remember just the first time you tried to go swimming or something, and you got, I'm surely going to drown. But here you are. I mean, you may not be going to the Olympics anytime soon, but you've made it. You know? But fear tries to tell us a lot of times why we can't do things, why we can't be who God created us to be. And I think it's just because we tell ourselves a line, something along these thoughts, because maybe you don't think along the way I do, and I hope not in some cases. I'm not the most brilliant person that's ever walked the earth, but I may not be the dumbest either. I can't do what I'm expecting. I can't do what I'm expecting is really what I think a lot of us try to tell God. Because when Moses tries to go back to him and says, I'm slow of speaking, what that reveals is what he thinks the job is going to be. He thinks all he's going to do is have to go speak, right? That's what the excuses he's using reveal what he thinks it's going to look like to be used by God. I'm going to have to speak, and I can't do that. But let's go look at what the experience actually turns out to be for Moses. Moses in Exodus 18. Exodus 18, verse 13. It says, the next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning until evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, what is this you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning until evening? When Moses answered him, because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. Does that sound like public speaking all day? No. It's a part of it. It's a part of it, but from morning until evening, in case you're wondering time-wise, that's most of the day, in case you're wondering on that. You add in some chances to sleep, it's basically done. Basically, all his day is sitting and listening. Now watch this. Some of y'all, I'm about to give some advice for free. Some of y'all need to write this down, especially if you're in a relationship. I'm going to tell you something. Listening is not speaking. Some of y'all need to write that down. I wasn't kidding. Moses, from morning until evening, is a judge listening to the people. And if listening isn't speaking, then the excuses he was trying to tell God are not playing out. It's a part of it. He does have to speak to people. He's not wrong on that. But what God had planned was so much more than what Moses was thinking. Because Moses didn't understand it all. He didn't know exactly what God was calling him to. He didn't know what it was all going to look like. And that's because he's not God. And many times when we try to make these excuses to God about what we can't do, all these things, we're trying to make excuses for just one part of all that he's got planned. Because we don't really know what that experience is going to look like unless we're willing to step past the wall of excuses between who we see ourselves as and who God has created us to be. These excuses just stand in the way. And Moses reveals his duties morning until evening. Basically all day, he's working to resolve disputes. That's not really what he was expecting or visualizing when he started giving excuses to God. You see, our expectation and our vision may not really match what our experience will be of letting God call things out of us. And so where are you at in the process? Is it still excuses? Or maybe are you starting to experience a thing that God is calling out of you? But see, as we started listening to that, does that job sound fun? Some of you are like, I like that. I could sit and listen. Maybe they'll bring me lunch. I'm not sure how the food plan works on that, but I'm not mad about it. I get to sit in a chair. I hope it's a nice chair. I hope it's a comfortable chair, but I like that. But that's not everything that Moses was thinking it was going to be. Maybe your experience has moved past your excuses, and you start to see maybe God's got a plan for this, and it's bigger than I was thinking. And you start going through it, but then you start going through, wait a minute, morning until evening, that's a long time. Does he get union breaks? I'm not sure about that. That seems like a long time. It sounds a little difficult. I wonder, if we're honest, how long would you and I do that if it's morning till evening every day listening to people's problems? At some point, you would want to get up in public speak and say, oh, y'all got some problems. Let's just get that straight. I got to listen to them from morning until evening. It ain't pleasant. Some of y'all got to get your stuff together. But verse 17, somebody steps in. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions. Show them the way they are to live and how they're to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you, the simple cases that they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this, as God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. See, what Moses has started to experience and what God has called out of him as a leader, he started just taking all of this work on. He started doing it all himself. And maybe you're starting to feel the strain, just like that verse is talking about. Maybe you've moved past excuses a little bit. You're starting to experience what God has for you, and you're starting to feel a word called strain. You're feeling a little bit tense. This is the cycle part where you'll see people burn out in what God has called them to do. They move past excuses. They try to do what God has called them to, but they do it so much just on their own power and strength, they just burn out. And it's like a shooting star. It's there, and it's gone. Moses' father-in-law comes in and says, what you're doing is not good. And Moses has got to be thinking, what do you mean it's not good? This is what God called me to do. He called me to be a leader. I'm leading. I'm listening. I'm judging. I'm doing this. I'm doing what God asked me to do. What do you mean it's not good? And he says, you need to bring some other people in. And maybe in your experience of serving God, has it become a little bit of the Lone Ranger approach? I'm doing what God's called me to do, but I'm alone in this. And you start to feel the strain, and you start to feel the tension, and you start to feel the grind, and you start to wear out, and it can become very difficult. And Jethro, his father-in-law, says, you need to empower some other people. You need to empower some other people. Maybe you own a business. Maybe you're working in business. Maybe you're trying to tell yourself still that you're not a leader. Well, we believe here at Vertical Church you are a leader if you follow Jesus. You have the ability to influence people. And I love the example here. It may be thousands. It may be hundreds. It may be fifties. It may be tens. The number of people you have influence over doesn't dictate how good of a leader you are. What dictates how good of a leader you are is what do you do with those people that you influence? And some of you try to tell yourself, well, I'm not a leader. Well, I bet if we sat down long enough, I could find three people you do have influence in their life. Three people you are a leader. What are you going to do with that influence? Maybe we can find 10. What are you going to do with that influence? Maybe it's hundreds. What are you going to do? Maybe it's thousands. What are you going to do with that influence? And Moses right now is bearing it all on his own. He hasn't empowered anybody else. And see, here's the difficult thing is if you get to the experience stage, you clearly believe God can call something out of you. You've stepped into what he's calling for you. But here's the thing that will kill you in this stage of the cycle is if you don't apply that same belief to other people. if you don't make the connection that not only can God call something out of you, but he can call something out of other people, you'll never step into the best of the influence you have, empowering other people to step into what God has for them. This is a huge moment in Moses' experience that he steps into considering letting other people step up. As you walk in today, what is the gifts and talents God's given you? And how are you using them? God has purposed something in your life for you to step into and experience everything he has for you. And that's what we're talking about here at Verticals. We want you to step into that. But maybe if you're not letting other people be empowered, if you're not letting them step up, if you're not letting them participate, you're starting to feel some strain. You're starting to feel some tension. You're starting to feel some grind. An experience may have taught you there's no one to empower. I don't believe that at all. At this church, we believe that we're going to work to raise up 1,000 local leaders and 23 global leaders. We believe in empowering people. We want to see everything that God has put inside of you be called out and you step into. Here's the thing is, I really think a lot of people struggle, though. How do I empower someone? How do I help them step into everything that God has for them? One, you need to have a relationship. That's how you have influence, in case you're wondering, is a relationship with people. But then secondly, Craig Rochelle says something interesting. He's a pastor. He's a guy I look up to. He says a lot of times we won't try to hand something off to somebody until we think they can do it just as good as us. Have you ever experienced that? Like, I'm not going to let somebody do something else until I feel like they can do this at least as good as me. And Craig Rochelle says that's hog wash. You can underline the hog and the wash part of that. He says it's no good. He says when you need to empower somebody is when you think they can do it about 80% as good as you. When you think they can do it about 80% as good as you, give it to them. Let them run with it. Do exactly what Moses is about to do here and allow people to go be judges. And it doesn't say that Moses just lets them run rampant. He says, give them all the simple cases. Give them the ability to make a decision without coming to you. He says, the difficult stuff, let them bring it to you. But the simple stuff, let them be owners over that. Let them make decisions. And so if you're struggling to empower people around your life and helping them step into it, when you see that they've got some potential, call it out. Speak it into them. Give them an opportunity. And Craig Rochelle says, if you give somebody the opportunity, even if they're just 80% as good as you, if they take it and they run with it, they'll eventually do it better than you could. And so maybe if there's some people around you right now that need to be able to step into what they have, and it's time to pass it to them and give them the opportunity. But I really do think the experience stage is where a lot of us stop in this process. We move past excuses, we experience what God has for us, but then we start to get strained, the tension, the drive of it, it gets difficult, we start to get buried a little bit, and it starts to burn us out. Because here's the thing, there's actually a third stage to the exodus from excuses. A lot of us would have thought it's just either excuses or experience, but there's a third part of it, and this is the key to truly being healthy and all that God is calling you to do. And Moses shows us, and the third part of it is the exodus from excuses. You can have excuses, you can have experience, and you can evolve. And this is a huge part of being able to get past just the experience stage. And it happens is you've got to be able to evolve with what God's calling you to. You've got to be able to adapt. You've got to be able to grow. And see, this can be tricky for some of us because here's what happens. As you start to get older in life, you start to gain experience, right? And as you start to gain experience, here's what experience can do if you're not careful. Experience can just tell you reasons why not to. And if you're very careful, it's actually going to inhibit your ability to evolve. It's why a lot of times we see innovation come from younger people. It's not because younger people are smarter. It's because younger people don't have enough experience to tell them not to try that yet. That's all it is. It's why, as I truly believe, the highest potential, the highest ceiling leaders are actually older people. I truly believe that. The highest potential leaders are older people if they see their experience and evolve. But what happens is there's this intersection that happens in life. And young people have all this innovation, but they've got no experience. And as you age in life and you get a little more experience, it starts to kill your innovation if you're not careful, because you start gaining more and more reasons not to try something, not to do something. And so as you grow older, the innovation goes down and the experience goes up. It's why in the business world, a lot of times you'll find people arguing that someone around 45, maybe 50, is your prime leader target. Because they go, that's probably the highest experience we can get with still some innovation left before the intersection happens and it just goes downhill from there. A lot of businesses will argue that's your top leader because they'll have some experience and some innovation left. I go, I get what you're saying, but I think if people who have the most experience won't let experience tell them not to innovate, that's your highest level leader right there. That's your highest level potential. It's why at Vertical Church, we don't buy into that you age out of the kingdom of God. We don't believe you age out of your usefulness. Why? We see you as probably our highest potential leader if you don't let experience tell you not to try. And it's why we believe in young people, because if we can help tell them what they don't know, they've got high levels of innovation. They're going to come up with stuff we never could come up with. It's why I'm open with people as a 31-year-old senior pastor. I tell people, I don't know what I don't know. I don't know. So I ask questions. I call up Pastor Drew or Pastor David, people who've been doing this for 30 years, and I just go, hey, I got a question because I don't know what to do. And it's amazing to ask people who have been doing this way longer than me. A lot of times they've got answers. And so where are you at in that process? Do you have a lot of innovation and maybe not so much experience, or do you have a lot of experience but you're starting to wonder, have I let it kill my innovation? Have I let it kill this idea that now that I've got all this experience, God can't do something new and fresh through me? I would tell you, yes, he can. Yes, he can do something new and fresh through you. I don't believe you get to a certain age where God can't do something with your life. Don't believe it. You're at the wrong church if that's what you want. I'm just going to be really honest with you. I believe God can still use you regardless of which age you are. But if we want to complete the process of an exodus from excuses, if we want to have experience but also be able to evolve, we've got to be having an open, honest conversation with ourselves before the Lord. Am I still adapting and evolving? Or at some point did I buy into the lie that nothing new can happen in my life? That at some point did I accept that truth that something new can't happen in my life? That God can't call something out of me. But look what happens in Exodus 18, verse 24. Exodus 18, verse 24. It says, Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided for themselves. He does it. He hears what someone in front of him is telling him, is saying, Jethro, his father-in-law, says, Moses, this isn't good. This isn't healthy. You're trapped in this just experiencing what God has planned for you, but it's too much. There's too much strange. You need to empower some other people. You need to invite them in. You need to let God call some things out of that. All those people he empowered, God also had a plan for their life, calling it out of them, saying, you've got skills and gifts and talents to be used in this way. And by Moses using his influence to open that up, so many other people got to step into what God has for them. It's why at this church, we're saying 1,000 local leaders and 23 global leaders. It's why we're saying that, because we believe God has a plan and purpose for your life. That you can step in and go, God, I want you to use me. I want you to work in and through me. I want to serve your kingdom. I want to bring honor and glory to your name. I want to use my talents and skills for you, Jesus. Work in and through me. We want to see 1,000 people do that here in North Georgia. We want to see 23 people be willing to go to the nations and tell them they can be leaders for Jesus. They can follow Jesus. They can give their life to Jesus. It's not necessarily a new idea what we're trying to do here. Exodus 18 already happened. Some of the things that we're trying to do with this church, you may go, I don't know about that. Well, 2 chapters in the Bible, it's already happening. It's this idea that God has a plan and purposes for people's lives if they're willing to submit to him. And so maybe right now, is God trying to call something out of you? If he is, where are you at in the process? If God's trying to call something out of you right now, do you just got excuses? Because you already know what it's going to look like. You already can visualize what it's going to be, and you got excuses for all of that. Or maybe have you moved past excuses, but you're trapped in experience, and it's straining, it is difficult, and it's time for you to empower some other people around you to walk this out with you. It's time to innovate a little bit. It's time to use your experience to help other people. Or maybe, is it time to evolve and grow and adapt? It's time to leverage this experience into something new that God's doing in your life. Where are you at in the exodus from excuses? What needs to happen in your life for you to experience all that God has put inside of you? Because the creator of the universe, he's made you. You are unique. You have a plan and a purpose according to him. And if you want to experience that, it can't be found anywhere else besides a relationship with Jesus. And so maybe today your excuses have always been, I'm not going to follow Jesus because if I do, I'm not going to have any fun in life, or it's going to ruin my life, or I can't do that. I've made too many mistakes. I've sinned too much. I can't. You got excuses. And maybe it's time today for you to let those excuses go and give your life to Jesus. Maybe Jesus has been trying to call things out of you and you've had excuses why not to do that. And it's time to move forward and experience all that God's put inside of you. And we're about to sing a song, and this time at the end of every service, it's designed for us just to have a few moments where if the Lord's doing something in our life, we say, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to say, Jesus? Lead me, guide me. Maybe it's the time where you give your life to Jesus finally. Maybe you make some kind of commitment before him. Maybe you step into everything he's calling out of you. But your life is not insignificant. It was made by the God of the universe. He's got a plan for your life. And sometimes the gap between who we see ourselves as and who God created us to be, all that's in between those two things is our excuses. When we start letting those things go, we can experience all that God has planned and purposed for us, just like Ephesians 2:10 tells us. So as we head into this last song, I ask you, ask the Lord, is there anything that I'm using as an excuse? Is there anything I'm letting just bury me in my experience? Is there anything I need to let go of to experience all that you have for me, Lord? I want to follow you. And so Jesus, we ask, lead us and guide us. Holy Spirit, make our path straight, our steps steady. Let us experience and evolve and grow and adapt into everything you've put inside of us. We want to submit to you, Jesus. I pray for anyone who's giving excuses, God, that they'll melt. They won't stand in your presence. Lead us and guide us in all that we do, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.